The lines are always open.
Call Lester and join the conversation on 021-446-0567.
My most favorite time of the day, it is the open line, 021-446-0567. Brian in Southfield, you open up the open line for us this morning. How are you?
Okay, thanks. I'm well, yourself?
Very good. What's on your mind?
Yeah, look, I was just a bit disappointed. He didn't, Franklin Song didn't mention his role in the CTPA and the Cape Coloured Professional Teachers Association and the role he played there. He used to be the chief puppet of the former Nationalist Party government, representing coloured, so-called coloured education. He was the one that mainly rubber-stamped decisions of the previous Nationalist Party. And one of the biggest tragedies for me was that, you know, those collaborators, in fact, they called Quislings in the TLSA journals. So these Quislings, they benefited from the previous regime, the Nationalist Party regime, and today, and after Kodesa, they still continued benefiting financially and otherwise from the ANC government regime. There were many of these organizations, the CTPA, TEPA, and others, that were collaborators. And Franklin Son used to rubber stamp all these agreements that was made with the Nationalist Party, the then Nationalist Party. And, you know, in many, I would encourage people to do some homework and read the TLSIA journals. I think they're now called NUKSO, where you'll see the role, the onerous and reactionary role played by Franklin Son, representing colored people. I'm not a colored person, nor do I know any colored people. We're human beings and we are South Africans. So Franklin Son comes from a very shady past, and he was, as the TLSA journals described him, there were many TLSA journals that described him as a Quisling, and I agree with them wholeheartedly. There were many organizations, the TLSA, Unity Movement, CALM, Cape Action Need, Warsaw Action Youth, ZAPU, PAC, all of those progressive, then-progressive organizations wrote about him as being a Quisling. So now he's being held in high honor there, which is a lot of nonsense, man. I'm very upset that those traitors of the past are now benefiting as well.
Brian Southfield, really appreciate it. I like your perspective on this and putting it in perspective. There's been very... Look, there's also been many discussions, for example, on the roles of principals, of heads of universities, and what level of collaboration and what level of providing a platform for particularly student movements. And I'm thinking in this case, University of the Western Cape and Richard van der Ross.
Van der Ross, exactly. Yeah, I was going to mention Richard van der Ross, Tiki van der Ross. He was another traitor of his struggle.
Well, here's the conversation that I want to have. What is then the level of being part of the establishment then, but at the same time providing the shield and cover, one would argue, and people have said this also of Richard van der Ross, being part of the system very much so, in his positions of leadership that you then are then co-opted by the establishment, but at the same time, providing the space and cover for people to continue and do the activism.
Yeah, exactly. Look, Van der Ross and Franklin Son were main collaborators with the previous regime. They used to rubber stamp all the national...
Well, one man's... My question is, how much collaborator, how much... then providing them that cover for people to continue activism.
How much? Sorry, I didn't get you.
The question then is to ask, collaborator, because you're part of the establishment, but also acknowledging your role of being there and providing cover, providing space, providing protection for people to continue activism, particularly at hotbeds of activism like UWC in the 1970s and 80s.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that was part of this, as Neville Alexander said in his last book, they use this, they perpetuate racism by using these racial identities. We were called colored then.
Okay, Brian.
So it's nothing new, really, but one must expose these collaborators. He mustn't come and pretend to be a leader of a struggle. He was a collaborator.
Brian in Southfield, really appreciate it. Enver in Blue Downs, how are you?
I left on good yourself, man.
Very
a bit disappointed in the interview you had now. Was thank fine. Yeah, being a child of the 70s, 80s, I grew up in Belleville South. And if you know Belleville South, you know Belleville South was a hype of activity when it came to the Busaks, the Van der Rosses, like your previous guest just mentioned now. The sons living next door in Belha, you know, knowing the families. You know, that man came on your radio now. He spoke about sunshine and light, but he still votes for darkness. He mentioned things like, and I'm not saying he was voting for the DA, but he speaks about the DA representative and the ANC hasn't got a rep in Cape Town or in the various municipalities. But still, he wants to vote for the ANC. He speaks about giving Ramaphosa a second chance in a second term. But he knows that there is no future in the ANC, but yet he still speaks about the future in the ANC. I'm disappointed, Lester.
Pete Kaukamp, political analyst, I think, at Northwest University. He wrote in Freya Weerplat online just last week, and he wrote in Afrikaans, so I'm going to try and translate it and paraphrase it. And he said that there is not a single party yet that can convince black South Africans that they have an alternative to a corrupt ANC. Because particularly many older South Africans, their experience of the liberation movement, it's not as political party, but political home. And outside of that political home, there is very little alternative. Someone who was born post 94 does not know the ANC as a liberation movement historical home. It's a political party. But for someone who has operated within a political home, I can see why it would be very difficult for someone.
I know that is a major deciding factor currently in our politics. It's the old accepting what they know, what they've grown up with, what they've been through, and what the ANC represents for them. But as someone in the middle, my age of 47. You know, we need to see that change. And I speak to Rafael quite often, and I tell her, coalition parties is the way to go. We can't have one outright winner anymore. We can't have one outright leader in the country. We need to have various point of views to get the point across, for lack of a better term. You know, that's what we need in this country.
It will be, I think you lay the groundwork for to maybe get Pete Kroke up on our show later in the week to explain his thesis, why he believes that many South Africans, and particularly many black South Africans, don't see a political home outside of the ANC. But Desmond in Heathfield, I see you. Dirk, I see you. We'll be back with the open line after this.
Cape Talk,
the open line.
Call 021-446-0567.
Dirk calling in on the open line. Good morning, Dirk. How are you?
Yes, I'm fine. How are you?
Very good. Thanks so much for your patience. What's on your
mind? No, it's a lovely day, so it doesn't matter. the police budget was reduced for general policing. The VIP protection budget was increased to 17.5 billion. Nobody talks millions anymore. It's billions. But where was the VIP protection when the ministers were being abducted by the...
Apparently, they were told to stand down. The ministers' protectors were in the room with him. They were told to stand down and not to engage. And that it was a Nat Joint's decision to send in the special task team. I can very much see how Thandi Modise and Monli Gungubele, the ministers of defense and minister in the presidency, very much wanting to downplay what happened last week. So they're saying that no, the protectors were in the room and we told them to stand down. But then at the same time, you then have the special force unit jumping in, which is also then quite puzzling.
So then, so what's the 17.5 billion for if we don't need the VIP protection guys?
anyway, look, you raise a very important point. Where budgets are being cut left, right and center amongst social services, nursing, teaching and the services that we need in this country, but VIP protection services increase in this country.
Yes, and then at the same time, they want to disallow firearm owners from owning firearms to protect themselves, but they can't protect themselves in government. So,
Dirk, thank you so much for your call. Pedro in Manenberg, how are you?
Hi, good morning, Lisa. I'm well, thank you. Yourself?
Very good. What's on your mind?
All right. So you know, I was so delighted to hear Dr. Franklin's son and you having a chat with him. I haven't seen him in a long, long, long time. And then that call, that first call that came through on the open line, just, you know, took the wind out of my sails. Look, on the 18th of August, 1983, I just turned 18, 5 days before that. I was a high school boy in Standard 9 when in Rockland Civic Center, the UDF was launched. Now, a very young Trevor Manuel, Cheryl Carolus, Geraldine Fraser, Dr. Alan Busak, Dr. Son, and those guys were present there that night. You know, and I remember I was in awe of these people. These were the struggle icons of the time, most of them colored. And you ask this question is, you know, with Dr. Franklin Son and what he's being accused of. Of course, they were with the apartheid government, but that. They use it as a platform, you know, to sort of highlight our plight as a people in the Western Cape. Because I can tell you now, without those guys, we would have been worse off than what we were. We were not where we were supposed to be, but you know, those guys had to, you know, it's like somebody that asked, why did colored people or black people join the police force before during apartheid? Well, somebody had to know how to do the job after apartheid. That's why they went there, you know. So to now paint Dr. Son in that light, you know, these are guys, Dr. Alan Busak and his then wife, Auntie Dorothy, they used to hide us from the police, you know. Dr. Alan Busak told me when the police, I was, you know, when Anton French was killed, Anton French was a very good friend of mine. We didn't go to the same school. I was told by Dr. Alan Busak to go hide the one place where the police will never find me. And I joined the army in 1985. I stayed there for 4 years, hiding away from the Buddha. The thing is, don't paint these guys now with a tar brush and say, look, they were collaborators. They were forced into that. They had to, but also use it as a front, you know, to highlight.
That's what I try to raise with Brian. Oh, for example, use the example of Richard van der Ross. Very much part of the system and co-opted by a system, but at the same time, his presence in that system providing cover for activism and for activist work to continue. And people can hold their opinions of whichever people, but I would like to see it in that. Maybe it's rose-tinted, but there's also a conversation to say how were people who were co-opted into a system, how they did provide cover for activists.
Well, it was a means to an end for us.
To a large
extent, you know? It was a means to an end for us to be educated, to go be able to go to university. So these guys paved the way. And that is completely broken down now. That is why we as a colored nation, and I'm not shy to say that I'm a colored person. That is my identity. That is why we are in the mess that we are in today as colored people being marginalized and ignored in the province of our birth when it comes to education, when it comes to jobs, when it comes to housing. We are completely forgotten. I mean, if the president of the country can admit and say, you know what, we have failed colored people as a whole, you know, who are we to say that it didn't happen? You know, we can't look at the world today with rose-tinted glasses and say everything is okay under an ANC government. We are completely a forgotten people. We are neglected
purely because of the color of our skin. And that, for me, is things that were highlighted before by Dr. Alan Busak, by Dr. Franklin, so by the Van der Rosses of that time, you know? The other thing I want to say is, you know, the ANC as a liberation movement meant nothing yet. As the UDF, under the UDF, and I'm a founding member of the UDF, we took that struggle to the streets. We kept the struggle alive here in the Western Cape when the ANC couldn't do it.
Pedro Emanenberg, thank you so much. Unfortunately, running out of time.